and welcome back to our latest edition of West Coast XC. I am your host, Ken Martinez. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you could kindly subscribe. By subscribing, you help support us, and we're able to provide the free content, the free photos that you're able to enjoy up and down the West Coast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, same request, please follow. It helps us and supports us. Thank you so much. In this week's episode, we are looking forward to the what's called the championship season. So there are two races in the West Coast that are qualifiers for championship races. Up in the Pacific Northwest in Spokane, Washington, is the NXR race that will be held on Saturday. This is the regional meet that qualifies athletes to NXN. So I talk with editor-in-chief of Diestat, Doug Bender, about teams to look for and individual athletes to look for at Saturday's NXR. Then afterwards, I talk to the one and only Annika Thompson of the University of Oregon, and her team, Oregon, won the Big Ten by quite a bit, set a record for the lowest score, and hopes to continue its success this Friday in Sacramento at the NCAA West Regional. And she talks about the meet that's coming up and also talks about what it's like to run for Oregon and what it was like to grow up in Oregon as a runner. It's a great interview. I know you will enjoy it. With our interview with Annika, you might hear me like crossing my fingers and talking about getting to the meet Friday in Sacramento, then getting up to Spokane for Saturday's meet. I plan to fly to Sacramento, then fly to Spokane. As you know, you've probably been watching the news or reading the news that there's some FAA is like reducing the flights. It's my hope I get to both places. If not, our friend Todd Takuba will be in Sacramento and our friend Russell will be in Spokane. So we got it all covered. So it'll all work out. You'll get photos from both events when the races are over. Last weekend, speaking of Russell went to the Washington High School State Meet in Pasco, Washington, in Sun Willows Golf Course. He has a great gallery that's up on his Instagram account. If you go to his bio, and there's his bio right below my chin here. I went to Lane Community College for the Oregon High School State Meet. I also have galleries available that people can check them out and download photos for free. You can find that on our website, westcoastxc.com. And you can also find it on our Instagram account at westcoastxc. While I was at the meet, I was able to talk to a few athletes about their successful races. I talked to the Napa boys who won the 2A-1A race. They scored 38 points and asked them what it was like to win the state championship. So that's the video that's coming up next. Right afterwards, you're going to see Jaden Warner of Warrenton. He ran 14:55.6. That was the fastest time of the entire day, and he ran in the 3A division, which in Oregon is like a smaller school division, so that's very impressive he did that. He'll talk about his race. After you see his video, you'll be watching Maddie Carney of Caldera, who won the 5A in 17:50.8, and she'll talk about her race. So let's check out Napa boys, Jaden and Maddie. I'm with the Napa Loggers, the state champions of the 2A, 1A. Boys, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Did it go as planned?
Pretty much, team effort, you know.
Yes. And where's Wyatt?
Right here.
How about your race? Did it go as planned?
Yeah, we won. That's all that matters.
Okay, you had a close finish there.
Yeah, it was scary, but...
It was scary?
I was pretty confident in my finish.
Oh, that's great. Now, how many of these have you won?
Only two.
Two, that's your second one? Second one. Well, congratulations, Napa Loggers, the 2A, 1A champions. Go Napa. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I'm with Jaden Warner of Warrenton, the 3A champion, breaks 15. How did it feel?
It felt great. I was like, just came out here and I was like, just going to rip it from the start. I always kind of just go out there and hit hard. I think all season long, racing the top competition, they always go out hard. So like, you know, let's go out there hard, go swing, you know, drive up those hills. I love this course. It's a beat down. I would say it's fast, but I also would say it's definitely got its hills and its downs. And so it was fun. Just got there and raced the clock for sure.
I saw you at the night meet. I interviewed you after Merriweather. I saw you dominate the rated race at Woodbridge. You
fought with those kids at Nike Portland XC, close finish at Rose City. I'm summing up your season. Are you happy with your season?
I'm happy. You know, there's always, you know, always room for improvement, but I'm happy where I'm at so far. It's definitely a bounce back from last year, and just glad to be out here and race with some big names that didn't know me last year. So
yeah. And you headed to Spokane?
Yes, headed to NXR. I'm excited for that. Race the competition again and try to get in that top five. It would be awesome. You know, I'm excited to go see what those guys do today. They're definitely going to slam, and there's going to be some competition. More or less, they'll be not racing the clock, but they definitely have some close opponents, and they're all going to see each other at NXR as well. So,
well, congratulations. We'll see you at Spokane next week.
Thank you so much.
I'm with Maddie Carney of Caldera. She's the 5A OSAA state champion. How does that feel?
It feels amazing. I think all the work I put into this sport and it paying off at this time of year, it means everything.
Did you expect it to work out this way?
I'd say going into the race, the goal definitely was to go for that win, but there's just so many great girls in this field. I was like, it could go to anyone. So I think really capturing that win, it just meant the whole world.
So this is your third time on this course, right?
Yes.
So what was your strategy today when you got out there? When did you decide, I'm going to make my move?
Yeah, I'd say on this like back stretch over here with about a mile, a little bit more to go, I thought I'm going to put in a surge and I want to make a statement and make it last. So that was the goal.
Well, congratulations. Will we see you in Spokane?
Yes, you will.
Okay, I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In this next segment, I talk with Malachi Shaner of Sheldon. He finished second in the boys 6A running 1508.1. Then right after that clip, you'll watch or hear the Sheldon boys, the Irish of Eugene. They finished fourth. They were very excited about the fourth place finish in Oregon. If you finish in the top four, you get to go up on the podium. It's very exciting. And then after that clip, you'll hear an interview of two athletes, Lauren Gerlach of Tualatin, who finished fifth in the 6A race in 1808.5, and Eleanor Wyatt of West Lynn, who finished seventh at 1815.3. And you'll hear it from Malachi, Sheldon, and Lauren and Eleanor, and they talk about their races they ran in the 6A boys and girls races.
I'm with Malachi Shane here of Sheldon, finished second. What's your feelings right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited. Our team got fourth. So
nice, you got a trophy.
That was a big move for us. I knew coming into the season we had a shot at it, but just to execute on the day is huge. We had a guy come through and be our third guy. That's usually our fourth. And so that was really, really big for us. I'm super excited. But to do it side by side with Yosuke, I'm so excited for him. He's super strong, and I'm excited for next weekend for NXR.
So, oh, yeah, you just have another chance next week, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, congratulations to your team. Congratulations to you and your season, and I'll see you in Spokane.
Yeah, see you there.
I'm with the Sheldon Irish. They just finished fourth in the 6A boys. Going to get their award very soon. What do you guys think?
It's awesome. Yeah. Great day.
Go Irish.
Team crushed it.
Go Irish. Yeah.
So when you started the summer and you started training in the summer, what were your goals? To get on the podium?
Absolutely. Yeah. We know we have a great team, so we came out here with a goal, and we've been executing all season. And we were ready to go today. Crushed it. Executed.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Working hard?
Yeah. And putting in the reps.
Putting the work, putting the reps. Okay. Are you guys headed to, some of you going to Spokane next week or everybody?
Yeah. Mostly everyone. We got two that aren't going.
But. Okay. All right. Well, congratulations. Okay. I'll see you up in the podium.
Yeah.
And we'll see some of you next week.
Thank you.
Go Sheldon.
Yeah. Go Irish.
Irish.
I'm with Eleanor Wyatt of Westland and Lauren Gerlach of Tualatin. Bo finished in the top 10. Eleanor, what place did you finish?
I'm seventh.
What place, Lauren? Did you
fifth.
Fifth and seventh. Was that your hope this season, was to get in the top 10?
Yeah, I think last year I didn't have a great race, but I mean, I also wasn't supposed to get in the top 10, so my goal was definitely all year trying to aim to get a medal, and then today I was like, I think goal should be top eight, and so I'm really excited of how I raced the race, and I think it was a good strong effort, especially like from the season not being maybe like where I thought it was gonna be, and so I'm excited to finish out strong.
You wanted to finish in the top eight and you finished seventh.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Exactly, yeah.
How about you, Lauren?
Last year I got 10th at state and it was like a battle of the end, but this year I was really focusing on like staying tough during races and really pushing myself. I had a tough race this season, like a couple weeks before districts. But I was going into the race ranked 8th, and I came out 5th, and I'm really happy with it. I feel like I executed the race really well, and I'm just so happy that I get to share this moment with the rest of these people. So.
Yay, all right. Now, you guys are in the same league or no?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see each other quite a bit.
Yeah,
okay.
I think almost every race you've raced together.
Okay, yeah. Well, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
And see you in Spokane?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be there. All right, see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, we're happy to have Doug Binder on from DiceStat, editor-in-chief of DiceStat. Hey, Doug.
How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on. I want to talk to you about NXR Northwest, normally in the Boise area, this year and for the future dates in Spokane, Washington. That's going to be a little different, huh?
Different. I think there's a lot of people in Western Oregon and Washington that are excited about that. It's a little closer. It's a little bit lower elevation and a little more, I think it's a little more centrally located to the big population centers there, Seattle and Portland. I think people are looking forward to it.
And I was thinking too that that'll be kind of a factor a little bit because, you know, when I used to take my teams to Eagle Island, I would run with my team and I could see coaches going over every angle of that park because they've been there many years before, either for Bob Furman or for other NXRs. This course isn't it brand new?
No, this is the Polo Grounds, which is sort of the interim course until they get on the new one that Gonzaga has built starting next year. So there was a meet up there already. The 509 meet was up there on the Polo Grounds. I think that day it should be a fast and flat course. I think that the day that they ran the 509, it was maybe a little bit too long. So nobody was really ripping off great fast times because it was maybe just not quite 5K. It was a little bit longer than that. I'm sure that they'll have it all dialed in here for Saturday.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. I know they're building a new course. They're going to host NCAA regionals there in a few years, and that's not quite ready yet. This is a course that's been used before.
Yeah, Polo Grounds, I'm not sure what the history of running there is or whether they've just done a one-off to carve out some space. It's right near the airport in Spokane. It should be easy for anyone flying to Spokane to get to. It looks like you'd almost walk from the airport to the Polo Grounds if you had a little time on your hands. For you and I, it should be easy to find, you know. Because we're both flying in there.
I'm laughing. Actually, I haven't, you know, researched that much. My daughter, when she was in like junior Olympics and when she was in eighth grade, ran on a course that was on the northern eastern side of Spokane. And so I thought maybe that's where that was. But this is by the airport. Okay.
It is. It's literally like maybe a mile from the airport.
Wow. Okay. I'm laughing because it's so close to the airport. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, the big two races are the championship races at 2:15, the girls race, and then later 2:55, the boys. Can we now let's tell the audience that two teams automatically qualify and five individuals also qualify that are not on the top two team. It's kind of a exciting finish area because the kids that are in the top five, maybe the sixth runner might actually make it because we don't really know. Yeah. It takes a while for them to figure out, you know, who are in the top two, because we might talk about some individuals today that may not be a factor in the individual race because they may make it as a team. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about the some of the teams you're looking at for the girls that may have a chance of taking one of those two spots.
Yeah. Well, the number one team in my estimation all fall has been Seaholm. Now, Seaholm's a small school in Bellingham, Washington, a power in the Class 2A meet up there in Washington, and they won again Saturday. They have got a really strong front four, and then they've got to hope that the number five can have a good race. And you know, they scored something like 22 points on Saturday, so they really dominated that. But they made their name for themselves at the Hole in the Wall Invitational when they beat you know, the big field that had, you know, there's so many good teams going to that race, that meet every year, and Seaholm stuck it to everybody there. Mm-hmm. Now, I would have to say, in my estimation, the Northwest doesn't have a super team on the girls' side.
Yeah.
So I think Seaholm has the best chance to be in the top two of anybody. I think the next best teams are the three in Idaho that went 1, 2, 3 in the 5A class. And that is Rocky Mountain, Timberline of Boise, and Boise High.
Yeah, they were pretty close to each other, 58, 79, and 88 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anything can happen at least in the Eagle Island course, anything could happen. Maybe that'll be the same in Spokane. Anything can happen. Yeah. I would say that's probably true. You know, it's interesting. Like, Idaho has really come on, the state of Idaho, in the last 5 years. You know, they've really – I remember, Coeur d'Alene girls made it, like, in the 2014s and 15s. Mm-hmm. And now the boys and the girls in Idaho, they're really stepping it up and being competitive. Lincoln girls had a great day at the Oregon State meet, and they've been there 2 years in a row. They're veterans.
You can't count Lincoln out. You know, when the season began, it seemed like they had these front two really good runners, and then there was such a huge gap between between number two and number three, four, five. And you know, they've gotten better. They've gotten better over the course of the season, and I'm sure that they've got some confidence coming out of the weekend down at Lane. Certainly, they could beat one or two of those Idaho teams. Are they going to beat all three? I don't know.
Yeah. Right. And you're saying that the Northwest is not one of those candidates for an at-large team, so they've got to get those two spots.
I don't think that the Northwest would get an at-large team on the girls' side this year.
And so on the individual side, one of the top five returners is Sophia Rodriguez of Mercer Island. Ran the fastest time on the state course at Sun Willows by quite a bit. She looks like a pretty good favorite to just maybe win the race too.
I think that there's maybe three girls I would look at, and one of them is Rocky Mountain's Hallie Heemeyer, who won the Idaho state meet. Then there's Sophia. Sophia's got a lot of great experience, and certainly you know, can run any distance on the track. Has been a standout for a number of years. And then, you know, Ellery Lincoln is someone to watch as well. You know, we just saw her down at Lane Community College. Her top rival in 6A, Nellie Delgas, tries to run as hard as she can early and see if she can get away from Ellery. But Ellery has such a big kick at the finish. I think if it's going to be a close race, I wouldn't count her out, because first of all, she is a talented, she just signed to the University of Oregon. She has got a lot of talent. She also ran at the 509 and won there. So she, maybe unlike the others, is familiar already with the polo grounds. Right. And that could be something that gives her confidence there as well.
Yeah. So Sophia Rodriguez of Mercer Island. Then you got Haley Heemeyer of Rocky Mountains, had a great season. And then Ellery Lincoln of Lincoln. We watched that race. She was behind Nalita Delgas by a decent margin and then closed it and then passed her. So those are three gals. What are some other gals that could take the other two spots?
Yeah. You know, Audrey Orme from Boise was behind Heemeyer.
Pretty close, yeah.
There's an interesting freshman over in Billings, Montana, named Addison Kegel, who was the fastest runner in Montana, and she could be someone that is a bit of surprise. Even in Montana, she doesn't run in the biggest classification, so
right.
She's someone that might be a big talent that's on the rise that could show up on Saturday and make some noise for sure. I'm thinking about the other is it Cassidy Armstrong in Washington?
Cassidy Armstrong, yeah. I watched her almost make the team last year, and she ended up going to Foot Locker. And then she didn't run track and didn't run most of the cross-country season until she ran her regional meet to get to the state meet, and still ran pretty well, you know, considering that she's been gone for a while. And, you know, maybe she gets even fitter after a week of running at the state meet. She could be a factor. And then Nalita Dalgas was not that far away from Ellery Lincoln.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she has got to be super motivated. I mean, twice now she's tried everything she can think of to get around the Ellery Lincoln obstacle and couldn't do it. But she's got, one of the questions I asked her on Saturday was, you know, you've got another chance, you know, next week's a chance to reset. And I think that she'll be super motivated to give another great effort.
I want to mention, you know, the 2A girls section of Washington. We have the great schools of Sehome, but there's the gal that beat all the Sehome girls is Sloane Dixon of Linden, who's going to be going to Spokane, Washington, and running for Gonzaga. She might be someone else to look for too.
Absolutely, could definitely be on the short list for making that top five.
Oh, it'll be really exciting to see which teams squeak in, the two teams and which five athletes, and then we go to the boys' race. And that one might be a little more clear cut, don't you think?
I think that there are two great teams in the Northwest. Looking at Coeur d'Alene and Jesuit, those teams I think are both potential podium contenders at NXN. So we ranked them Coeur d'Alene first, Jesuit second, based on their how they fared against one another at Hole in the Wall. But either one of those teams could win on Saturday. I expect that it's 1-2, one way or the other. And then, you know, does the Northwest have enough? Is there a chance for the Northwest to get a third team in? Maybe. Meade ran awfully well in the Washington mm-hmm. State meet. Crater has come on had a great state meet in the 5A race on Saturday. Rocky Mountain again of Idaho has got a good group. I think it starts at, you know, Summit is good, but they lost a Crater by a few points. They might run a little bit better on Saturday. I don't know, but there are some good teams on the boys' side for sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking that if, let's say, Jesuit and Coeur d'Alene have this incredibly low score and the third team is in the ballpark, that they're close, I think the committee would maybe consider that, because I would agree Coeur d'Alene and Jesuit are looking to get up on the podium at NXN.
Yeah.
And what really strikes me about both those teams, Coeur d'Alene and Jesuit, they got low stick runners, and then the other fifth man is not very far from the low stick runners.
Right. Both do not have a problem when it comes to they're only four deep. They're Jesuit is seven deep, and Coeur d'Alene is seven deep. They're not going to if one of their guys falls off, they can still make it.
Right.
They should be in great shape.
Yeah. And now we'll go to the five athletes that could possibly make it. And you know, like we just mentioned, Jesuit and Coeur d'Alene has some outstanding individual athletes that if they were just to do an individual race like Wyatt Carr, and you've got the Jesuit boy also, Kellen Williams, but they'll probably, I mean, you'll see them up in the front, but they'll probably go with their team. Who are some boys that we should keep an eye on in the boys race for individual spots?
Yeah, I think it's starting to look like Cohen Butler from Camas, who I don't think I even knew who that was a year ago, has been really running great. Again, won the Hole in the Wall, won the Washington State meet with the fastest time of the day, 14:47, I think it was. Right. And then you got the kid out near Astoria, Jaden Warner, who runs in class 3A, which I have to think it's like, what do you think that is, Ken? Like 300 to 500 kids in your school?
300 to 500 kids, yeah, smaller schools.
Yeah. Well, he is a big fish in a small pond there at Warrenton, and he ran the fastest time of the day in Eugene. Now he hasn't Oh, like he's taken a loss to Malachi Shanehair. Malachi would certainly be a candidate. Yosuke Shibata, who beat him on Saturday, looks like I wouldn't bet against him to make the top five. And the sophomore from Crater, Garrett Fott. I mean,
Yeah.
not very many kids have ever run under 15 minutes at Lane Community College, and Fott is the first sophomore to ever do it. So he keeps the Crater streak alive there in 5A, and he might be the next big thing coming out of Southern Oregon.
Yeah, the Jaden Warner story is, for me, is the fact he runs the fastest time of all the different races. But the other boys had each other. You know, they were racing with somebody with a mile to go. Jaden was by himself, doing it all by himself. That makes his time very impressive. It makes him somebody you can maybe look forward to making the top five. But you mentioned a few of them from Oregon, Malachi and Yusuke, and then we have a boy from almost from Portland, which is Cohen Butler. I want to mention last year, Jace Burton finished second from Star Valley. Just like, what? You know, and his teammate, Colton Cranny of Star Valley, is also in the race. And then there's another name from the past, Taylor Neal. Isn't that Nathan Neal's younger brother? He's at Glacier.
He's at Bozeman.
Bozeman. Oh, Bozeman. Oh, that's right. Okay. And then Finn, I don't know how to say his last name, Schrettenhaller. He ran the fastest time in Montana. So there's always a good Montana, Wyoming surprise too sometimes.
Could be. It could be. On paper, it looks like and Hiram Tuft is the guy that ran really fast and won the Idaho meet and
Yeah,
beat
he
all
beat
the Tour
Wyatt
de Lane
Carr.
guys. Yeah. He would certainly be one of the strong candidates for a top five spot as well.
Yeah, I want to give a special shout out to a freshman boy because freshman boys, the ceiling is unlimited, you know. But Quentin Lanise of Olympia finished second to Cohen Butler, 1505. Just kind of like our friend Garrett Fott of Crater, the freshman sophomore boys. I'm always like, the ceiling is very high, you know, the improvement they can make.
Yeah, it
And maybe,
certainly is.
I mean,
And
when
they're
I was
just
doing
learning what they can do.
right.
Bjorn Blankenship, like he was
Yes.
right behind Fott in that 5A race. And Ty Cirino, like another talented guy who got he couldn't hold on there toward the end, but again, you give him a chance to reset and he could come out guns blazing on Saturday. You never know.
And then Dylan Rowell of Anacortes was in he ran 15:10, which is not, you know, maybe it was like the sixth or seventh fastest time, but he's in the 2A race where the second place guy's running in the 15:30s, so he's probably responding to what's happening in the race. He could be a factor also. There's just a lot of boys that could really do
Good. I
something.
mean, there's a lot of good boys in the top 20 for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so I'm psyched. I don't know the course. But I'm excited to go there and check it out. And this is going to be like a then do you think next year will be at the place that Gonzaga is going to be? Okay, got it. All right, well, this will be fun to check out the new course and see all these athletes and see who makes it. It's, you know, I'm there at the finish line taking pictures, and it takes a little bit of time. I don't know if that's purposely delayed. I don't know what it is, but they don't really know what's going on. Obviously, if you win it and your team's not a top two finisher, you know you've made it. But then those fifth or sixth individuals don't know what's going on in the top two, and they just kind of wait, and then they're screaming, and people get super
Hey, you got
excited.
to have your athletic live results in your palm of your hand so you can follow all the action
That's
and
what they're doing too. They're standing on the side of the, you know, fencing there with their coaches, and they're just waiting. Because, you know, those, it's just the,
sometimes you got to refresh it and check
yeah,
double
there's so
check
many good
things.
runners here that fifth, sixth thing is happening all over and over and over and over again. I don't think it's purposeful. It's just like, it's just so many good teams are coming at the same time, and it's just, they got to make sure they get that right. So it's super exciting. And can people watch it on Runner Space this weekend?
Absolutely. I wasn't gonna stop here without trying to direct people to go watch the live webcast on Saturday. Actually, it starts tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow, Friday. There
Friday.
are a couple of JV type races, and then everything's going on Saturday on Runner Space. So check that out. It's gonna be a good show.
Well, Doug, I appreciate you coming on and giving us a good preview of what's happening on Saturday, and we look forward to if you're in Spokane to seeing it live, or if not, on Runner Space.
Absolutely. We'll see you there, Ken.
All right. We'll see you there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll shift from the high school race up in Spokane to the college race in Division I in Sacramento on Friday. It's the NCAA West Regionals. And how that works is kind of similar to what they do at NXR. It's the top two teams get automatic qualifiers. Now the high school race has top five individuals. In the case of the NCAAs, it's top four of individuals who are not on one of the teams that qualify. And there are like nine regions throughout the country. Each region gets two teams, and then there's 13 at large. So it's quite possible that the West could get, you know, anywhere from one to three extra teams to the NCAA. Depends on how well they've done at invitationals throughout the year and at their conference meet. Currently, Oregon women are ranked number one in the West region, with Stanford at number two. So those would be your automatic qualifiers if that's how they finish on Friday. Other teams to watch in the women's are Washington, Washington State, and Gonzaga. That's on the women's side. On the men's side, it is Oregon at number one, Washington State number two, California Baptist at number three, Boise State at number four, and Stanford at number five. So you have the top two teams automatically make it, and then the other teams are hoping to get an at-large bid. So it makes for very exciting. And then there's four individuals. Later, they can add two more individuals throughout the entire country. But for sure, there are four individuals that are going also. So that segues into our next part, where we talk to Annika Thompson of the University of Oregon, also from Junction City High School in Oregon, too. So let's go and talk to Annika. Well, I'm here with Annika Thompson of the University of Oregon cross country team, also the track team. Hi, Annika.
Hi, Ken. How's it going? Good to be here.
Oh, thank you for coming on. And
thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And I want to eventually talk to you about this Friday's race in Sacramento, but let's go in the past. Mm-hmm. So I watched you guys at the Big Ten score 18 points. That's the lowest point total. You finished ninth. Did the meet go as you had thought it would go, you personally, for you and for the team?
Definitely, yep. We had it go pretty perfect. Shalane had told us the night before, perfect scenario. We get the meet record, which was 22 points. And she was like, but there are some really good individuals in the Big Ten, some returning All-Americans that could break up the perfect score. Shalane talked about hoping for a perfect score, but also the Big Ten's big, big competition, big respect to them. And so we really wanted that 18 points. The previous record was 22 points by Wisconsin in, I think, 1985. So it had stood a long time, that record. So to get that was very special for not just the team, but Shalane too. Shalane, she loves to win, but even more, she loves to dominate. So it went very good, well to plan. We are really finding our groove now that we head into championship season and using our team tactics. We got really strong three low sticks, and then we have a chase pack of three, and it's just really fun to be on a team like this. That's just so competitive, and we work together, and we're in a good place for sure, and that was a fun meet.
Yeah, I went to the Big Ten track championships, and you know, the 10,000 and the 5,000. Oh, yeah. There's some outstanding athletes throughout the Big Ten, so that's impressive. I didn't know that the record stood since 1985. That's impressive.
Yep. So
congratulations to the Ducks.
Yep. Thank you. That was great.
And the men also won too. So it was a sweep, which was awesome. And so now I'm going to continue in the past, way past now. So you are a kid in Junction City, Oregon. I want to mention Junction City is about 20 miles north of Eugene. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in Junction City?
I actually did not. So the first 7 years of my life were in Fairbanks, Alaska. My parents ran a B&B up there, and my dad was a basketball coach at UAF. So I have Alaska roots actually, and then my mom got a job at University of Oregon, so we moved here in I guess that was 2010. And yeah, I have been here ever since. I do say though, I am an Oregon girl at heart. I love Oregon. It's truly my home. So yeah. And a duck too. Like my dad, he's from Hillsboro, Oregon. So
okay.
We always had Oregon roots. But very fun childhood in both Alaska and then Oregon too, just 20 minutes north of Eugene.
And so how did you discover running? How did you become a runner?
So I've always been a very energetic person, very energetic kid. My favorite thing to do at recess was to run around, play basketball, play sports. I did really well in sports growing up, and I played them all. I did every sport you can think of. And then my favorite part of sports, though, was the running part. I love to just run down a field, run down a court, and race people. And I also did a bit of like track and cross country when I was super little, but nothing like too formal or competitive. I joined my first track club when I was 12, and it was Emerald Valley Track Club in Eugene, Oregon. And Maddie Elmore was on my team, Hannah Subert, some of the Ducks that are my teammates now. So that was always cool. But I started out with the sprints. I did the 100 and the 200 meters. And then each year I kind of just started to move up. I was like, okay, I like the 400. And then when I got to middle school, I was like, oh, I like the 800. So I did mainly 400, 800 throughout middle school. And then in high school, I tried cross country formally and loved cross country, loved distance running. And now I run the 10,000 meters. So it's amazing. You could go from a 100 meter runner to a 10K runner in a few years.
Yeah. And so you went to Junction City High School, home of the Tigers. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
Home of the Tigers. I have to tell you, I started teaching at Aloha High School in the early 90s, coached there in early 90s. The names from Junction City are Billy and Elvis Harper. That's how I got to know Junction City. And your career was interrupted at the end, unfortunately, with the pandemic. But what do you remember most about your high school career at Junction City High School?
I remember it. It's very similar to my college career. It mirrors it pretty well, like kind of just each year getting better and better. And I remember being an eager freshman at Junction City, wanting to be really good right away. But it took simple progress, kind of like at U of O. I've been able to just get a little better each year. Each year I was able to drop my times. And I remember I would always look at the record board in my gym high school, and I saw, of course, the Harper brothers. They still have every record at Junction City. And the record for the 3K was 10:30, I believe. And then I was able to get that my sophomore year. And then I was like, you know what, I would love in high school to get the 4A all-time record for the 3K, which was 9:51. And then by the time I was a senior, I was able to get – the thing about COVID was tough because my junior year got taken away.
Yeah.
But I did time trials, and I have them on film. They're on YouTube. You can find them if you want. But basically, I reached out to Helen, the coach at the time. That was my dream, to go to Oregon. I said, what times do I need to run? Because we were in a unique – situation here with COVID and all that. So she told me under 4:40 for the 1500 and then under 10 minutes for the 3000. And so I chased those all throughout kind of that COVID. I did get under 4:40. I wasn't quite at a sub 10 yet, but then when I finally got my senior year, we did kind of a makeshift meet in Siuslaw High School.
Okay.
And that's where I was able to get the 9:46 3K.
Nice.
But you they never counted it as a 4A record. But
that's too bad.
It's okay. But
you know, you did it.
No, I did it. And so leaving Junction City, I just wanted to leave some marks behind and hopefully inspire younger Tigers. We have some great young ones now that are doing great stuff for the program. So it's just fun to kind of leave my name on the record board and cheer on the future generation of Junction City Tigers for sure. So I had honestly like the perfect way I'd want my high school career to go is just to get a little better each year and finish off with all the goals I had set out for myself 4 years ago.
So not an OSA recognized record, but it's on the record board at Junction City.
Yep, it is.
Okay. That's all that matters. People at Junction City will go, okay, at high Junction City High School will go, ooh, I don't know if I can get that 3,000 meter record. Wow, that's a really fast time, by the way. You know, I coached for a long time. If you could break 10 minutes in the 3,000 for girls back in the 90s and 2000s, that was like that was like untouched. That was very hard to do. It's amazing how fast kids are running now. It's just so awesome.
Now it's like high schoolers going sub 9 minutes now, so
Oh, yikes.
it's really gotten taken up a notch for sure.
I have a Junction City story for you. So my daughter Anna and her high school teammate Taylor, they were looking for a summer race in 2021. It's really hard to find summer races in the Portland area. They stopped racing in the summer. There was a race in Junction City called the Scandinavian. What's it called? I wrote it down.
Yes, the Scandia Run.
Festivals 10K. My daughter comes back, or she texts me at the race or something and says, OMG, the woman that won our race is a high school gal, or she just finished high school. She's going to Oregon. She dominated. That's one of the first, that's the first time I like, oh, okay, who is this person? Okay, wow, good. Junction City, right? Okay. You dominated that 10K.
Yep, that's my race for sure. My favorite road race, our local 10K during the Scandinavian Festival. The roads are basically right near my house, so I run that course probably once a week. I know it from the back of my head, so I love racing that Scandia Run. It's just so fun.
Okay, my next question, you've already answered it, which was that, you know, in Oregon, people either are like Oregon State Beaver people or they're Oregon Duck people, or maybe there are people that are just, they don't know. But your mom worked at the University of Oregon. Sounded like to me, you're starting to get recruited by Oregon. That's got to be your dream, right? You were hoping to go to Oregon.
I was I remember growing up as like, oh, I wanted to be a soccer player at Oregon, and then it turned into a basketball player, and then it turned into a track athlete. I just absolutely have loved my Ducks from day one. Best even growing up in Alaska too, we would travel down for some Duck games or go to some of the bowl games. Like I grew up going to every track meet at Oregon, going to every football game at Oregon. My whole childhood is surrounded by Oregon, so it was such a huge dream and honor and privilege to get to be a part of the sports program. And I never take a day for granted there, especially as I'm coming towards the end of my time at Oregon as an athlete. Just every day I walk into that Hayward Field Stadium, I have to pinch myself because I'm like, wow, I get the privilege and opportunity to be here at Oregon. It's such an honor to me. So, diehard Duck fan, bleed green and yellow from day one. Will never see me in a Beaver thing or a Husky thing ever. Nope.
So you also have a wonderful vest that has ducks all over them.
My duck vest. I call it the Ducks on Me vest, and I like to bring it to some of the meets when I'm cheering on my friends or sporting events and stuff like that. It was actually made by a teammate on my team, Harper McLean. Her mom made the vest, and Harper's like, "I'm not gonna wear that thing around." And I was like, "I'll take it. Give it to me. I'll take that."
I've seen you wear it. And then I was thinking about Hayward Field. Kind of pressing my memory when you get on the campus, and is that the fall of 2021, right?
Fall of 2021.
That's when the Hayward Field opens, correct?
Yes. We were the first class to be on the new Hayward.
Yeah, that's amazing. I haven't had a chance to walk all the way around inside the stadium, you know, underneath the stands, but I've done part of it. It's pretty darn gnarly down there.
Oh yeah, it's not blue collar at all. We have top-notch facilities that I'm just so grateful for. It's just incredible. Like I always say, being in an environment like that, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to improve and run fast because we have access to all the nicest things imaginable, and so grateful for it all, for sure. Thank you, Uncle Phil, and all the donors who put that together.
Yes.
Incredible. You
know, I'm from Southern California, and I ran cross country and track down there, and that's nowhere near Eugene, but that was the school, you know, that's the running school. And so when I go underneath the stands and see all the history on the walls there, I just love it. It's just so much fun. So I remember all those athletes. Okay, so now you are going to University of Oregon. That's a huge jump athletically from Junction City or any high school, not just in Oregon, but anywhere in the United States. What was the transition like going from an athlete from high school to the University of Oregon?
I think I knew going in mentally, the jump I was making. I knew being at a small school, you're kind of like the big fish in the small pond. And I had mentally prepared myself. In fact, that's something I really wanted at Oregon, was I wanted to be put in the most challenging environment around lots of good athletes who were better than me to help make me better. Like, I remember being really excited about that, but it is always an adjustment. So I was mentally ready for it. I was like, okay, this is not Junction City anymore. This is a lot bigger, a lot more competitive. But the freshman year is definitely tough. I want to say I won as a freshman because I stayed healthy.
Oh,
like, that's the biggest key your freshman year is just staying healthy. And I made steady improvements, but nothing like, not any big, big jumps. And then, but it was definitely adjustment. Like, how I explain the first year of the NCAA to people is you get on the line of a cross country race, and it's not like high school where you have all sorts of different people, different backgrounds. Most people in this NCAA race have either won a state title, were the best in their high school, won a national title in high school, and then you add internationals. It's just the cream of the crop, the most competitive environment for college. So you have 200, basically you're racing 200 former state champions on the line. Yeah. So if there's a lot of bodies around you. So that was definitely something that kind of shocked me. It's like, oh wow, like I'm in 50th place or I'm in 100th place, when in high school you're used to like being, you know, in the first pack and stuff like that. So that was definitely a bit to adjust to. And then I just fell in love with the process. I've always loved the process of training, so I think that helped me do really well at Oregon. I'm always gonna just put my head down and do the work, so that helped me just each year make those steady gains. And then especially when Shalane came, I just got so much better. Just that training that we do really agrees with me. And so it was very exciting when she came. And just same with, just being able to be coached by someone of her caliber and her background and her experience, it's such an honor and privilege, and super grateful for that and what she's been able to help me accomplish in the sport.
My daughters ran for Bowerman in Beaverton when they were middle school and little kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I dropped them off. And just wanted, you know, as a parent, you're just dropping them off, make sure, you know, everything's, you know, I don't know, just make check in with the coaches. And standing next to me was Shalane. She was a Bowerman athlete, and they were introducing her into the kids. And I was like, oh my gosh, there she is right there. Oh my gosh. So exciting. So let me ask you about this part. You have competed for Ireland.
Yes.
And you won the 10,000 for the under 23. Is that correct?
I did. Yep.
Yeah. That's exciting. What is it like to compete internationally? That's awesome.
It is so, so fun. So growing up a dual citizen has been a huge part of my life. My mom is from Ireland, and I have all my family, my mom's side of the family, living over there. So I grew up going there like every summer and being with my family in Ireland. So growing up, it was always like a dream. Oh, do I compete for USA or do I compete for Ireland? But my mom got to cycle for Team Ireland. She was a cyclist. And kind of hearing those stories about her cycling for Team Ireland really inspired me to want to represent Team Ireland someday. So it's been really fun getting to compete internationally, and especially my mom's side of the family, they're all the way in Europe. So they don't get to really watch me in the United States.
Great.
So when I go over there to compete for Ireland and I'm competing in somewhere in Europe, I get to see my mom's side of the family and they get to see me compete. So it's like a really fun thing to have my Oregon and NCAA here in the US and then have my Team Ireland stuff, but with my family in Ireland. But yeah, it was big honor and big pride to represent Ireland and come home with a win in the 10,000 and have my granny there. I gave her such a big hug.
That's
and
great.
Just so special because yeah, like it's a big part of who I am as a person, being a dual citizen and being an Irish citizen. So to be able to wear my national vest and represent it well means a lot. So it was a great summer for sure, and I look forward to more with Team Ireland in the future.
That's wonderful. Speaking of the future, your career at Oregon is coming to a close. You mentioned this earlier too, and you're improving every year. So you probably want to keep running or be involved in the sport after you graduate. Or have you graduated? Actually, shouldn't I say, have you graduated?
I actually have not graduated yet. I'm hoping that I can graduate after this winter. So my spring will be wide open because I'll be done with all my schooling in the winter time.
That's nice, isn't it?
It is very nice.
It will be nice. Yeah.
I planned that. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter went to a quarter school and her like third quarter, she was graduated and she just ran track. It's such a great thing to get all that out of you. Just run. So what are you thinking when you leave Oregon? You want to keep running, right?
Yes. Definitely. I have such big dreams and goals in the sport too, especially, I would like to try some more distances. Like, I think for me, I would really love the marathon. I see that in my future, doing the marathon and some half marathons, some road racing, more stuff for Team Ireland. I'm really lucky with that dual citizenship connection that it opens up a lot of doors to keep running in the sport and have the funds and the means to continue to run after college. So my goal is to keep running after college, stay involved in the sport by either help coach, help mentor. I'll just always be involved in the sport. But as of right now, my plans are to keep running after college.
Oh, wonderful. We'll look forward to seeing you doing that.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. And this weekend, well, really Friday, is West Regionals. And at West Regionals, Oregon has to finish in the top two. I think that I don't want to get you overconfident, but you're ranked fourth in the country, especially after the Big Ten. Yeah, it looks pretty secure. There's also COLAS points too, but I feel like you guys are going to be okay. 2 years ago, 1 year ago at Colfax, in Washington, you finished seventh. And 2 years ago on the same course in Sacramento, you finished 12th. What are your thoughts going into Friday as a team and as yourself individually racing on Friday?
I'm really excited. Team's excited. Some of us I've run the course and then there's others who have not. And I just keep hyping it up that it's such a great course.
It is.
So fast and flat. And I'm a rhythm runner. I really love flat pancake courses where I can just get into my rhythm. And, so we're excited about the course. Shalane is mentally preparing us, and she said this in Colfax last year, there should be no emotional deposits into this race. We are going there to check a box. It's a business trip. There's been times in the past, like when I finished last time I was in Sacramento, our team was kind of on the bubble. We were not guaranteed to make it to nationals. We really had to get that second 1-2 finish. And so I remember going to the well that day, whereas
really well back, that was a great breakout race for you.
It was a breakout race, but I knew I had to sell my soul for the Ducks, and that's what I'll do in Missouri.
Yes.
I'm gonna really go to I call it the dark place for my team, just to give it my absolute heart and soul, to give our team a chance to do well there. But she doesn't want any emotional deposits. Just go there, run how we do in practice, and get the job done. So we'll probably see some nice team tactics, some nice ducks up front, and individually, like I've been very consistent about like peaking at the right time and feeling when I start to feel good. And it's always like Big Tens, regionals, nationals. I start, we all we take the mileage down, and everyone starts to feel really good. So the goal is always to improve on last year. So hopefully see an improvement. If not, the main goal is just to have a good race to get our team to nationals.
I have not checked the weather, but I asked for a media pass for Friday, and the person that responded said, "Hey, make sure you're prepared for rain." And I was like, "What? What? California? If that happens, the web feet of the ducks are going to be like, hey, it's just another day."
It is, yeah. I love the rain. In fact, I've been joking. A lot of my teammates are like, this is not a funny joke. But I'm like, I hope it snows in Missouri. I hope it's snowy. I hope there's snow on the course.
You like challenging weather, huh?
I do, yeah. But for me, that's not challenging. What's challenging is 80 degrees in the sun. I do
Oh
not like
yeah.
the sun. As an Oregon and Irish girl, I don't do well with the sun on my face or the heat.
I remember Sacramento getting, maybe that you guys ran before the men did, but I just remember you getting a little toasty out there a lot 2 years ago, and that's not, that's not fun. If you're not used to training in that,
No.
I mean, you train in the summer, but then there's like this, late October, you don't, not body's not quite ready for that. So
Not at all. No. Yeah, it could be. The thing that worries me about the rain is it could, I think D2 Nationals might have been there last year, but the puddles on the course, the drainage wasn't great. So there was like kind of like NXN, Lake Nike,
Yeah,
on the course.
it does change the strategy when the course is not firm. Okay, well, it's a long ways from now. Things can always change. I know that I saw yesterday at the Oregon State meet, and that typically is terrible. It was
Yeah, it's great
lovely.
weather.
It was lovely, but you always brace yourself like it's going to be. So I think it's the opposite in California. It's like in Oregon, you're bracing yourself for rain, and if you get lucky, it's sunny. There, it's like it's probably, it's always sunny and occasionally gets rainy. So we'll see what happens, but you'll be ready for anything.
That's
Well,
right.
I really appreciate you, Annika, for coming on and spending time. I know you're a busy person, so I appreciate you coming on and doing this. And we'll look forward. I'll be there with my camera, hopefully. There's some airplane traffic situation going on right now, but I'm planning to be there on Friday. You're planning to be there too, and so I'm looking forward to taking pictures of you doing that, and then really rooting for you guys in Missouri. That's going to be awesome. You're like one of the top three or four teams. It's going to be really exciting. There's so many good. There's those the top four women's teams are really close, so it's going to be really fun.
It's going to be so much fun, and I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, looking forward to seeing you hopefully in Sacramento. I'll be cheesing out there on the course until probably the last K of the race, but yeah, thank you so much for having me on, and love West Coast XC
Oh,
and
thank you.
all the photos you take and what you do for the sport. It's
Oh, that's very nice.
awesome.
Thank you.
So thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I met your mom at the Dempsey, and she gave me all these nice compliments too, and I was like, oh, that's very nice. So thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your effort and your enthusiasm and your knowledge and your duck vest and everything. And so we'll see you on Friday, and go Ducks.
Go Ducks. Thank you.
You're welcome. Want to thank everybody that came on. We're talking Napa, Jaden Warner, Maddie Carney, Malachi Shaner, the Sheldon boys, Lauren Gerlach, and Eleanor Wyatt, all at the Oregon State meet. Doug Binder from Diestat, and also Annika Thompson of the University of Oregon for taking the time out of their busy week to talk to us about their upcoming races this weekend. As mentioned earlier, I will have pictures, hopefully, if I think I'm going to make it. Don't you think I'm going to make it? I'm going to make it on those flights. And I'm looking forward to being in Sacramento and then up to Spokane. You can see our galleries. Todd will be in Sacramento, and also Russell will be in Spokane. So we have lots of photographers, different angles. And so you'll get all those photos from this weekend. And for our athletes in California, they're running their CIF sectional races and getting towards the California state meets. Very exciting as they are starting to march their way onto Fresno. Good luck to those athletes doing that too, and to all the other athletes in Division II and Division III and NAIA in the college level also. So good luck to everybody this weekend. Have a great race. And remember that the West Coast is the best coast. See you next time.